From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yakov.
A West Philadelphia grocery store is getting ready to close its doors, leaving neighbors without a convenient place to shop. And the owners are squarely blaming the city's controversial soda tax.
It's been almost 3 years since Philadelphia passed a 1.5 cent per ounce tax on sweetened drinks, better known as the soda tax. And retailers like Jeff Brown say it's hurting their businesses. So our intern Xavier Lopez popped over to that ShopRite in West Philly, the one that's supposed to close later this month, to ask people if they thought there should be a soda tax.
Do you think there should be a soda tax?
No.
Why not?
Because people are struggling already, and there is no reason why people have to struggle to pay soda taxes to make it even more worse for everybody else.
I don't think there should be a tax on soda.
The soda tax is terrible.
Clearly, the tax is still hugely controversial. It also sparked a lawsuit from the beverage industry, which continues to fight it. And we're left with a ton of questions, like why isn't this settled policy? And how exactly is the money being spent? Today on The Why, sweetening the city's pot. First, the money question. When Mayor Jim Kenney started pushing for the soda tax in 2016 as he was just taking office, he said it was all about helping kids and the city's poorest neighborhoods, places he said had been taken advantage of by the soda industry.
What we're looking to do is to take some of that profit, to put it back into the neighborhoods that have been their biggest customers, to improve the lives and opportunities for the people who live there.
I talked with Malcolm Burnley, who's been writing about the program slated to get money from the tax. So Malcolm, when Mayor Jim Kenney talked about the soda tax and he was really out there selling it and how it would benefit the city, he emphasized these two programs, Universal Pre-K and Rebuild. Just briefly describe those two programs.
So pre-K is pretty basic. The idea behind pre-K is that there's thousands and thousands of students in the city who do not have access to quality pre-K, and we all know that that really has an impact on a lot of lifelong outcomes for children. So the Kenney administration currently is funding about 2,200 seats this year for pre-K students, and they hope to ramp that up to 5,500 to 6,000 per year eventually. Secondly, the Rebuild program is a program that Kenney devised to improve parks, rec centers, libraries, and playgrounds across the city.
So how much has the soda tax taken in for the city to this point?
The revenues have brought in about $138 million up to this point.
Okay. And exactly how is that money, that $138 million the city's taken in, how has that been spent on these programs?
More than $30 million has been spent on pre-K. However, essentially, the rest of that money has gone into the city's general fund and has actually not been spent on Rebuild or any of these other programs.
Wait, it's going into the general fund? Isn't that just sort of the city's general pot of money that they can use for anything?
That's right. While the lawsuit challenging the tax was winding its way through the court system, the administration was basically banking the funds from the beverage tax but not spending them. In case that the tax was actually reversed, and that way they would have to give back the money. So they didn't want to earmark it, I guess, too specifically or make any promises or indications that, you know, this was definitely going to be the money for Rebuild, say. But they're basically saying that, trust us, this is the money that's going to be spent for pre-K, it's going to be spent for Rebuild, but it just happens to be in the general fund for now.
You know, one of the Philadelphians we spoke with, Tina Sloan, actually said she doesn't trust that this money is going to be spent on the programs it's supposed to.
Well, I would feel good about it if the money actually went to where it was supposed to be going. To me, I don't see any difference. Next year, they'll still be talking about they need money for this and they need money for that.
Is there a reason to be skeptical about how this money is going to be spent?
So I think there is, because once it's in the general fund, the concern is that it can be spent for anything. The city controller, Rebecca Reinhardt, actually released a report as well as going to be releasing continually follow-up data releases about where the beverage tax money is actually going to be spent. So she will be a watchdog kind of looking at this. The Kenney administration has promised a certain amount of money already for Rebuild and has already spent a certain amount of money on pre-K. I think, you know, if the city was in some type of financial distress, which we know Philadelphia has found itself in many times before, that money could go for other purposes.
Malcolm, thank you.
Absolutely. No, thanks so much for having me.
As Jim Kenney approaches re-election, the soda tax remains one of his biggest vulnerabilities. WHYY senior reporter Dave Davies has been covering the politics surrounding the soda tax. So, Dave, the soda tax passed in 2016, just after Jim Kenney took office. Why is it still an issue we're hearing about?
Because the people who resisted it never quit fighting it. It was passed in June of 2016, and the opponents stayed right at it. They funded a court challenge, took it right to the state Supreme Court. They kept lobbying. They kept using public communications to try and defeat it.
Before the tax, everything was fine. We were making ends meet. But as of right now, with the beverage tax, it's just killing the city.
They pushed a bill in Harrisburg to preempt the city's authority, to revoke the city's tax and prevent any other city from enacting a tax like this. And they still hope to get it repealed or partially repealed in council. They just won't quit.
Why can't they give up on this?
Two reasons. One, they see themselves as part of a national struggle over sweetened beverage taxes, which it is. I mean, this was the first big city to enact a sweetened beverage tax. And the American Beverage Association has spent money all around the country fighting things like this. And so if they let it happen here and let it stand untested, it's kind of like Gettysburg in the Civil War. They want to win this one. The other thing that's happened is that this has gotten really bitter and personal locally. Jeff Brown, who is a guy who owns a lot of ShopRite stores, who has been admired by progressives for building in food deserts and connecting with communities and hiring ex-offenders, has been a big critic of the tax and says it's really hurt his sales.
The customers have a lot of choices outside the city where they can avoid this tax.
He actually closed a store in Overbrook recently.
And he says it's because of the soda tax.
He says it's because of the soda tax. Others point to other reasons it may have closed. But Mayor Kenney has attacked, you know, millionaire soda magnates. And when Jeff Brown made that point about his store closing, Kenney pointed out that he had recently bought a $4 million house in Center City. So it's gotten personal.
We've got a primary coming up for mayor and all of the city council seats. Could this come up in the races at all?
Yeah, it certainly could be. I mean, the beverage industry's dream would be to knock Kenney out of office. And they have the money to do it. They could spend $5 million on a challenger and hope to defeat him. The tricky part is that we have campaign finance limits here in Philadelphia, and you can't just donate that kind of money to a candidate. To do it, they would have to form a super PAC, one of these things that were created by Citizens United to raise and spend unlimited sums, and mount what's called an independent expenditure. They would have to advertise for this candidate without coordinating with them. We've seen efforts like that in municipal races here, including mayor's races.
The only challenger to Mayor Kenney in the primary is former city controller Alan Butkovitz. And you actually asked him if he thinks he could get backing from the beverage industry.
Do you anticipate an independent expenditure on your behalf by soda companies?
Yeah, I don't know, but I sure hope so.
Has the beverage industry shown any interest in backing him?
Well, they aren't talking about what their plans are to me or anybody else that I know of. But if you read the tea leaves, I think it's not that likely they're going to put a ton of money into that. I think they would be more likely to help a candidate who has shown an ability to wage a competitive race on his or her own. We haven't seen that from Butkovitz yet. The other thing is I've looked at how they spend money around the country. They have a lot of money. They spend it on lobbying campaigns. They spend it on advertising to defeat public referenda. They haven't put a lot of money into candidates.
How about council races? Do you think we might see them getting involved there?
I think it's possible, even likely. Remember that if they get 13 votes on city council, they can repeal the soda tax, even over Mayor Kenney's veto. Now, that's not easy to do, but a few members aren't coming back. And there are pressure points. I mean, they can try and defeat Bobby Heenan, for example, a councilman who was a big backer of the soda tax. So you might see them put some money into defeating him or backing other candidates who share their views on it, or maybe sending a message to those who voted for it last time. And whereas in a mayor's race, it might take millions to be decisive, a couple of $100,000 in a city council race can have a big impact.
Dave, in January, Electricians Union business manager John Dougherty was indicted. And in FBI transcripts that came out, at that time, he's quoted as making it sound like the soda tax came from him. It was his idea. And that he was using it to punish the union that represents beverage truck drivers, which he was feuding with. What does this revelation mean?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the soda tax opponents are reveling in this. They think it shows that this tax was not about helping kids or rebuilding communities. It was about John Daugherty's grudge against another union and Mayor Kenney, who, remember, got $500,000 in help from this union to get elected, simply decided to indulge this obsession of his big supporter. Kenney says that's baloney, that in fact they had programs they wanted to fund and his team thought a lot about it and came up with this. If it suited Daugherty's interests, Kenney says, that wasn't what I was thinking about.
It may have been a revenge plot on Local 98, but it wasn't to do with me because I wasn't even in office, in council, or I was running for mayor in 2015. The idea of the soda tax first came up in a meeting I had relative to how to pay for pre-K and community schools and for our rebuild project. So I had no discussions about the soda tax with John Daugherty when we sent the bill up to the fourth floor to be introduced.
I kind of think this is kind of an insider's argument by and large. I think that the public will mostly be influenced by this on their assessment of its impact on their prices, on their jobs, on what it does for their health.
It seems like the impact of the tax is something that it's difficult to really get to the bottom of. I mean, how do you go about this?
I think you take a long, serious look by an independent commission, and I think we ought to do it. You know, taxes in the city grow like vines. We have a budget problem, we have a need, and so we find a tax. So some years back, we added 1% to the sales tax. So it was 7% in the city, but only 6% in the suburbs. And then we had a bunch of property taxes increase. And then we had another temporary increase of 1% in the city sales tax, which, guess what, we made permanent. So now it's 8% in the city and 6% in the suburbs. And we've added a cigarette tax. And now we've added a soda tax, which doesn't exist in the suburbs. And we don't somehow look at the cumulative effect of all this on the movement of business and people. And I think it's time for a commission or some independent body to take a hard look at the impact of all this.
Thank you, Dave.
Good to be here.
The Why is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. Special thanks to intern Xavier Lopez. Subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and give me a holler on Twitter @ Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back tomorrow.